There's an old joke told that God looked down from heaven upon the world. And he looked at the United States. And he said, I'm going to send a personal letter. In fact, I'm going to send 10 personal letters to each county in the United States, to the 10 most holy, righteous, godly, charitable, caring people in those counties. And so he sent 10 letters to 10 people, one letter each, to 10 people in every county in the United States. The most godly, holy, righteous, charitable, concerned, caring, doing people that he could find. And you know what the letter said? Oh, I was hoping you'd tell me. I didn't get one either. Roger, Shirley. No? Bummer. I was hoping somebody here. Come on. Milwaukee County. You got... No. Yeah, if you'd look for the 10 worst, I'd have got one, right? You know, I think the Apostle Peter got the letter. Because he put some of the contents in here. 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'll start reading at the 12th verse. Dear friends, when the fiery ordeal arises, pause. Did he say if? No. When? Set your watch by it. Figure on it. When the fiery ordeal arises among you to test you, don't be surprised by it. I already told you it was coming. Don't act as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, as you share in the sufferings of the Messiah, rejoice, so that you may also rejoice with great joy at the revelation of His glory. If you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Now, none of you, however, should suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or even as a meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he should not be ashamed, but should glorify God with that name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who disobey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is saved with difficulty, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So those who suffer according to God's will should, in doing good, entrust themselves to a faithful Creator. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father God, Your Word says that we're saved with difficulty. And so we shouldn't think that suffering is an unusual thing. But we should respond to suffering with good works. Teach us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. You remember what was read here earlier from Amos chapter 5. How many of you would love to see the Lord return? You're looking for the Lord's return? And you're looking for Him to bring the day of judgment upon the world and deal with this planet and deal with the ungodliness in Washington and deal with the ungodliness in the rest of the world and deal with the ungodliness here? Yeah, you like that idea? Well, I got the big news for you, because when He does it, He's going to start right here. I'm not sure I'm looking forward to that. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord, Amos said in Amos chapter 5. What is going through your minds when you think of the day of the Lord? It's darkness without a bit of light in it. Won't the day of the Lord be darkness rather than light, even gloom without any brightness in it? So God's judgment begins with us. And that's part of what that suffering deal is. Remember back over in chapter 4, the same chapter, verse 1,
What did Peter say? Since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same resolve, because the one who suffered in the flesh is finished with sin. When you suffer for the cause of Christ, it means you have chosen suffering over sin. It means you have turned your back on sin and chosen, I'm going to suffer for the Lord. Now, if you suffer for your own stupidity, that's your problem. But if you suffer for the name of Jesus, that's quite another thing. But let's not forget, there is a judgment for Christians. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. And many of you have read of that judgment in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where God will bring our works out, and we will have works of gold and silver, and of wood and stubble, and it'll all be tested by fire, and what remains, remains. Live lives that display an eternal kingdom by having eternal values in your actions. It is not a cheery prospect that we face the judgment seat of Christ. It is a sobering one. But there is another factor. Rather than panic, we have another response. God's judgment begins with us, but God's salvation was a difficult thing. You know what I think that letter said? I think that letter said, verse 18, the righteous is saved with difficulty, so what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Let me put it this way. Now, remember, this letter goes to the most righteous, pristine, perfect, charitable, caring people in the world. Okay? So it going to those wonderful people, none of us qualify, it said, you are so weighted down with sin, it took the death of my son to save you. Now, if that's what he said to the best of them, what do you suppose it would say if he wrote to us? But think about it a moment. Is there any part of you that has ever thought, you know, some murderer could receive Christ just before he's executed and go to heaven? Here I am, I'm in church, teach Sunday school, raise my family to love God, and that person goes to heaven just by saying a prayer, just by coming to Jesus before he's executed. A murderer. That's not right. That's not fair. That's not just. But then, of course, what do you suppose the people that got the letter think of you? It took the death of God's Son because I am so weighted down with sin, I couldn't be saved any other way. Now here's the fact. God says that to the righteous. And with what tremendous difficulty are you and I saved? God had to work at it to save us, to save me. And it's a sobering thought. God's judgment is going to begin with the house. He's going to start in the house. When God cleans up the world, he'll start with his own. There is, again, I'll relate to one of my atheist buddies who sometime back said, I'm just scared that you Christians are going to try to come after us. I said, let me tell you how it works. I said, before I come after you, I have to be perfect. And after that, I have to see to it that my family is perfect. And after that, I have to see to it that my church is perfect. And after that, I have to see to it that the entire body of Christ is perfect. And after that, I will come after you. Do not hold your breath. It's a sobering thought. What's our response to that? How do we relate to that? Verse 19 gives us the answer, that if you suffer according to God's will, You entrust yourself to a faithful Creator by doing good works, by doing good. Suffering is inevitable. Misery is optional. You're gonna suffer. But misery is up to you. I made a choice last night. I had to work at the factory all night. I haven't had any sleep for quite some time. I made a choice. I said, I can complain about it, or I can get through it. I can get through it joyfully, or I can grumble. By the grace of God, I made it through happily. Cooperated with the co-workers who didn't know why I was doing that. Tried to display something eternal. Talk about the grace of God at work. Why? Because in my study this week, I came to realize that God had to break a lot of sweat to get me saved. He didn't have to break any sweat to create the universe, but to save me, He had to. He had to sweat blood. And I'm thankful. I'm grateful that He did that. And then the Scripture says to entrust yourself to a faithful Creator. When you go through suffering, and when I go through suffering, oh, what's God putting me through now? Why is God doing this to me now? And I'll give you the answer. I have no idea. But I know that cross settles forever the question of whether or not God loves me. That question is answered. And that whatever happens, and I'm not looking forward to what's happening, but whatever happens, God hasn't stopped loving me. Because Jesus hasn't stopped living for me. Risen from the dead. God has nothing left to prove. As if He ever had anything to prove to His creation. God doesn't have to. He already has. Brothers and sisters, we are Christians because of a scandalous situation. We've been given grace, and it's a scandal. It's a scandal that someone like a Jeffrey Dahmer, who brutally murdered and cannibalized people. I don't know whether he came to Christ or not, but he could have. And here I am pastoring a church. He could go to the same heaven I do. But of course I get to go to the same heaven as the people who got the letter. And I can go to the same heaven as Jesus. Is that fair? Is that right? You want fair? When an atheist hit me with it, he says, your God isn't fair. I said, you're darn tootin'. My God is the most unfair God, and I don't want fair. Rejoice in the scandal that has saved you. Now, if you haven't come to Christ, want to get in on a juicy scandal? It's the biggest one ever. It's all about love. A God who loves you so much that His Son died for you when He never had to die. He suffered when He never had to suffer. Died and rose again. And now you can go to heaven. You can have eternal life. You can have a relationship with God. I've said before, one of the reasons I'm a Christian, it's the only religion that would take a guy like me. It's the only religion that tells the truth about humanity. And the truth is, we all stink.
And God says, come on in. Oh. All because of Jesus. It tells me the truth about me. And it tells the most glorious thing about God. No, folks, I'm not a great Christian. I have a great God. So the only place where salvation is offered is at the feet of Jesus Christ.